As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Football Show.
Hey everybody, I'm Kaylin Kaler, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. Welcome to QB2, the show where we talk to only my favorite players in football, the backup quarterbacks. The backups are rarely the focus of any team. So here on this show, this is where we celebrate them and give them their moment to tell us all of their stories and their knowledge. QB2 is also a loose term because these guys shift up and down the depth chart throughout their careers. And today's guest knows firsthand what it's like to go viral as a backup quarterback thrust into that starting role. Last season, he became a Jets fan favorite when he threw for 405 yards and 3 touchdowns and upset the Bengals in week 8. He was named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And in that win, he became the only quarterback in the NFL to throw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns in his first career start. The Jets even sent his jersey to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was drafted in the 5th round by the Cowboys in 2018, and he joined the Jets practice squad the following season. He was actually the catalyst for my unnatural interest in backup quarterbacks, because when he took the field last season, everybody was like, wait, who is this guy? So welcome to the show, Mike effing White. How are you, Mike?
Good. How are you? Quite an introduction.
I know. It's always fun to write these introductions because, you know, as I said before, like, you guys are rarely the focus. So, you know, you never get to hear all of your kind of career achievements and where you've been summed up in, you know, one paragraph like that. So it's always really fun to do that.
Right. Yeah. No, it was kind of weird to hear.
Yeah. You're like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're coming off the bye week right now. What does a QB2, how does a QB2 spend his bye week?
Well, I personally spent my bye week. I went back home to Tampa, Florida. That's where my wife and I live. My wife was actually in town with our twins, Millie and Maddox. I went home, spent some time with them, and then they flew back up here with me yesterday. So I just enjoyed the family. We went to the zoo a couple of times, and I went to my wife's cousin's football game. So the twins got to go see their first high school football game. So it was fun.
Oh, nice. Very nice. So I want to start with you, obviously, kind of when you entered all of our consciousness in the NFL, which is last season, week 7 against the Patriots. Zach Wilson gets hurt. You immediately come in the game. You move the Jets into the end zone with a touchdown pass to Corey Davis. What are the steps to enter a game when your starter gets hurt? Can you kind of walk us through, like, what do you do first? What do you do second? How do you get into the game?
Right. So you see Zach get tackled, as he does any other play, and then you wait and you're like, all right, he's not getting up. And then you see the doctors rush onto the field, and then next thing you know, there's Vito Contento, one of our equipment guys, is handing me a ball like, hey, go warm up. So I'm warming up with our equipment manager, and then Connor McGovern's coming over to me real quick and I'm getting snaps with him. So it all kind of happens so fast. And we got a pass interference call. So we were down in the red zone. So, like, we're rolling. As soon as Zach got up and they helped him off the field, like, you're into it. So you kind of give the line your cadence in the huddle, like, hey, this is what my cadence sounds like. So they can hear it for the first time. And then you kind of just go. So I personally, I like that better because there's you get thrusted into it. So just kind of instincts and stuff to kick in. Whereas if you're like the next week when I was announced as a starter, you have the entire week. Yes, it's nice to get reps and knowing you're the guy and you're getting all the practice reps with the starters and you're throwing routes with them and all that good stuff. But you do have the entire week building up to it that you can get in your own head if you let it. It kind of like, all right, this is your first start. Like, I really hope it goes well, like all that. Whereas the first game, when you go in mid game, it's just boom, you're in it. So you don't really have time to do that. You're just worried about, like you said, just executing the offense, like moving the offense down the field and keeping our team in it.
It's a really good point. Like, I was going to ask you if you ever feel like in the moments where you have to enter a game unexpectedly, like, is it possible to ever feel prepared, or is it just kind of like a, you know what, F it, like winging it, let's go, YOLO. Right. Is it kind of like that?
No, you definitely are prepared just because you are in the meetings and you're in the installs. You might not physically be getting the reps, but you're still, like me personally, after practice, I'm sure tons of backups do the same. You take the script and the routes that you might have not gotten reps in practice and keep a couple guys after practice, maybe a couple like twos or P squad guys, and throw those routes. And while you're not getting it with the ones, you're still getting those reps and feeling the muscle memory of it. So you do have that. So you're not as prepared as the starter, but it's not like you're going in blind. Like, you should know exactly what the reads are and what the play is trying to accomplish and all that good stuff.
When you say, you know, you and Connor McGovern get together to do some snaps, and then you tell the offensive line, like in the huddle, well, this is what I sound like. So that was week 7. So
right. When
is the last time that, you know, starting offensive line would have heard your cadence?
That season, probably sometime during probably OT or training camp when Zach.
Yeah.
I think Zach, they had like a contract issue or something, and he missed the first 2 days.
Okay.
So I took reps with the ones for the first 2 training camp practices. That's probably the last time they heard it. Yeah, but as a backup, it's your job to make your cadence as similar as possible to the starter for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but then again, everybody's their own human, so no one's going to sound identical. So, but you try to the best of your ability to keep that cadence similar for that reason.
And what, like, you played behind now Zach Wilson, Dak Prescott when you were in Dallas.
Right.
Do you, either one of them have a harder one to mimic, or, you know, who, I guess, is there anyone in your career that you've been like, this is actually difficult, their rhythm here?
No, not too bad. I would say maybe a little voice inflection with Dak, because he's got that thick Louisiana accent that I used to like to poke fun at with him. But no, besides that, it's pretty cut and dry.
And you don't actually try to like mimic that Southern accent.
Oh, no, no.
Or do you go that far?
I would sound absolutely ridiculous if I tried to do that.
That's awesome. Is it hard? So obviously, you know, you're in your 5th season now. Last year was your 4th year, and that was the first time that you had gotten real regular season action in your career. So when you are kind of biding your time, you know, obviously waiting for the right sequence of events to occur where you get a chance to play in the regular season, is it hard to stay positive? Like, how is your mindset as you're, you know, in your 4th year still waiting for that moment?
Yeah, I would definitely say there's definitely roller coasters as a backup quarterback's journey. And like you said, you can go from being the 3 to being P squad to being the 2 to getting your chance and then going back to a 2, then to a 3. Then it's just, there's so many different paths a backup can take. So it is definitely mentally taxing that you have to always stay positive and know that crazy things happen in this league, and you got to be ready for your shot, because when you do get your shot, that's your chance to prove to not only the team you're playing on, but the rest of the league, like, hey, this guy can get it done if he had to play. So, and that's how you can get out of this league quickly too, is if you go in and you're not ready and you're not prepared, and that opportunity kind of passes you by, and teams and stuff will move on. They're like, all right, this guy kind of can't cut it.
So you know, had instant success. You upset the Bengals in your first start last season. And we've seen that happen, you know, in different seasons in the NFL. You had your moment last year. You know, we saw Bailey Zappe and Cooper Rush this year. You know, I had Kyle Allen on a previous episode and he did the same thing. And so I'm wondering, like, is there a phenomenon? Like, is there, how would you describe that? Like, you know, when like an interim coach comes in and like, right. usually the team wins because it's somebody different and guys are, you know, it's a new energy. Like, is there the same thing with like a backup quarterback entering? What, how would you describe it?
That is interesting. I've never really thought of it. I wouldn't say there's too much of maybe an interim head coach, maybe because you have a different voice in the locker room and all that good stuff. But I wouldn't say too much for back guys. It really comes down to if you have your team's respect or if the locker room respects you and they'll rally around you and things of that nature. But I don't know. It's very interesting. Because I'm sure there's instances of where it's gone south for some guys too.
Right.
The start hasn't been what they hoped it would be. So that's I've never thought about it. That's a very interesting interesting question. But it's definitely fun. It's definitely fun to watch. Yeah. We'll study. Let me know what you find out.
I'll have to pull the actual stats and the data of like, okay, what is the record for these guys on their first game when they come in?
Exactly.
That would be interesting to look up. So do you still get recognized in public now?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the weirdest or most memorable moment where someone has been like, Mike White?
Oh man. Last year at some point, I think this was later in the season, maybe even the last week or so, I'm walking in the mall by myself. Like I'm on the phone with my wife cause I had to run an errand and grab her something. And these like three high school kids from like, I'm on like the bottom floor. They're on like the second floor over on the other side. And they just
Spotted you.
Yeah. They're just Mike effing White. Like that, the Mike effing White thing really, really caught fire last year. And that's, I couldn't go anywhere without someone somewhere telling me that.
How do you feel about that nickname? Like, are your kids are like toddlers. Are they allowed to hear profanity?
Oh, well, they're like 14 months right now. So. Yeah. But there's definitely going to be someday where – no, I love it. I think it's awesome. Yeah. And I thank Ty Johnson all the time because that's who really started it.
Yeah.
And no, it's funny. It's good. It's catchy. It's definitely taken on a life of its own, but I think it's funny.
Yeah. So a lot is made of the New York market, right? Whenever – and I think about Daniel Jones a lot when I think about this. Like whenever a quarterback is drafted into New York, you know, everyone's like, can he handle the criticism? Like – is he going to be tough enough to, you know, play in this market where there are huge expectations and the media is a little bit tougher? So I wonder for you, you know, you came in and you became a favorite and people loved you. And then, you know, your last start that you get, I believe, you know, didn't go well for you. You had a few interceptions. Joe Flacco ends up starting the next game. So, and I think Robert Saleh, even in a press conference, was like, you guys like saying to the New York media, like, we need to be nicer, you know, like you guys loved Mike and then, you know, you threw him into the trash. Essentially he had like a quote that was like that. So I wonder from your perspective going through that, you know, how would you describe what it's like to play in New York? Is it fair to say, you know, it is harder than other places?
I mean, I'm playing in the NFL is hard in general. And now if you're going to start really putting a lot of weight into what the media says, then yeah, New York can feel like it's piling on top of you when things aren't going well. But another thing too, New York, when things are going well and you're winning, like this place is unbelievable. Like the energy in the stadium, the fans, like they're top notch. So if you're going to play that game, like it can go, like you said, it can go one of two ways. You can feel really good about yourself when things are going well and you can read into it and pump your ego up, or things aren't going well and then you start to get kind of pissed off at what's getting said about you. So me personally, just kind of roll with it. I don't put too much weight into what they're saying and I try not to look at it good or bad, just because like I said, you can fall down a rabbit hole when things aren't going well and you can get really down on yourself. And when things are going well, you can kind of get complacent and in a big ego, and then you'll get knocked back down to size real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So take me inside the Jets quarterback room. There's four of you. We got Zach, you're now QB2, Joe Flacco, as we mentioned earlier, and then Chris Dreveler, who I believe is on the practice squad. What are the dynamic in there? Can you kind of like walk me through everybody's specific roles and how you interact with each other?
Oh man, there is nothing I love more than talking about the quarterback room.
Yeah.
I don't want to diss any of the previous quarterback rooms I've been in, because I have been lucky to be in some awesome quarterback rooms with some great football minds. I mean, starting off with Dak and Kellen Moore and Cooper Rush, like that was an awesome room, especially my first room. I learned a lot about kind of what it's like to be a pro and how the dynamics of a quarterback room work. But I really feel like this year's quarterback room is one of the most special ones I've been around. I genuinely enjoy coming into work and just sitting in the room and just shooting the breeze with them and just talking about everything that's going on in the world. And we all share, like me and Joe share our kid stories. And obviously Zach's not in that aspect of life yet. And Strev's on his way there, slowly approaching though. But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, Joe's obviously the old grizzled veteran in the room that has his old war stories that he likes to tell us. And Zach's the young guy, just like the young pup just going through life. And then Strev is like, me and Strev are like right kind of perfectly in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like we came out the same year, so we have our like experiences, but nothing like Joe and obviously a little more than Zach. And then Strev also has his Canada stories, which we all love hearing about, and how he shows us these pictures. Yes, this is a story. He showed us the other day. So when he won the Grey Cup, he's got this like fur coat with a cowboy hat. I'm pretty sure he had some type of chain, no shirt on, and jean shorts. You're in Winnipeg.
Right.
In sometime in the winter. So it's like probably -5 degrees. And he still got like his ankle taped from the game 3 days ago. So though people in Winnipeg will dress their kids like him for Halloween, and he gets tagged on it in social media. So he's like a living legend up there. But
that's
just
amazing.
It's fantastic. But it's an awesome, awesome dynamic. I mean, me, Strev, and Joe, we start every morning. We'll go and get like a sauna session in, and then we'll go like cold plunge. Like that's kind of become our thing. So every morning for about 30 minutes, we'll just sit in the sauna, shoot the breeze, hang out. It's a really, really, really good dynamic. And Zach's doing his own deal, like doing his treatment and getting ready to play. So we don't have the stress he has. So we get to go do a little sauna cold plunge in the morning.
I love that. And my colleague who covers the Jets for us at the Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt, he wrote a story about the QB room this summer that was really good. And he said that I think you had told him that usually in the off season, the group chat will die.
Yes.
And this one last year did not, it just kept going strong.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Is there a name of the group chat?
No, we don't have a name. We need to have a name. We should. That's a great point. I'll probably put that on our sauna to-do list tomorrow. But it's the group chat kept going. And like I said, normally it's like, it's no ill will. It's just kind of when the season dies, everybody kind of goes into their own off season world. And then when we reconvene, the group chat will fire back up but last year, I mean, between us quarterbacks, obviously Strev wasn't in it yet, but like Mike LaFleur, Rob Calabrese, like we would talk about what play, like the playoff games, like, oh, did you guys see this play? Or like someone, I'll send pictures of me like up at like 2 a.m. with my kids who are really young and like talking about, oh, I really love off season. This is the best. Meanwhile, I'm itching to get back into the quarterback room. So no, it shows how close knit the crew, not even just the quarterbacks, but the coaches too. Like we're a real tight knit group.
Yeah. And is there someone like, do you ever have to mute the group chat? Is anybody really annoying in there and sending like 7 messages in a row? And it's like,
no, we're actually, so it normally for the most part kind of starts with either LaFleur will start, like LaFleur will send something and then it will send us off on a tangent. I'll be the first to message in there sometimes. Zach rarely, Joe never starts. Joe never starts.
That doesn't surprise me.
Exactly. It's pretty on brand for Joe.
But, yeah.
I mean, if you can get like 3 or 4 consecutive responses from Joe, it's either a really interesting topic
or
he's really, really bored. Because between like, he's just not a big phone guy. And then he's got 5 kids at home. Like,
right.
And all running around doing crazy stuff. So
if
you can get him to respond 4 times, it's pretty. Or if you can get him to like laugh at something, that's like, I come to think of it, I don't think he's ever like, he likes messages a lot. He's never put like the laughing light, like, you know what I mean? Like Joe laughed at whatever.
Right. The ha ha.
We haven't gotten one of those yet. So I think the first person to get one of those from Joe needs to have like some type of reward.
Like a like there needs to be like a trophy made.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
100%.
Oh my God. Wow. That's so funny. We have, I remember.
All right. So we got a trophy. We got to get a trophy made. Yeah. And now we got to get a group
name
chat.
Name the group chat. Yeah.
All right. This is good.
Because when I saw you guys after the upset win in Green Bay, Joe was like standing there like completely unfazed. And like you and Zach were like chatting, like, you know, like,
yeah,
remember this play and remember that? And he was just like, so it was like hilarious. I'm like, this is definitely just his personality, I think.
No doubt.
So funny.
No doubt.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's
the
little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So, you know, what's interesting is that, Saleh during training camp has said, I feel like we have three quarterbacks. Like we have three starters on our, in our quarterback room. You know, and obviously like you all have had the chance to do that for the Jets. So, I mean, he is correct in just saying that flat out, but there is also, you know, an adage that says, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And I'm sure you've heard that before. What, you know, do you think it is possible to have a successful quarterback room where there are multiple guys who are at the talent level to be starters?
I do think so. I think it's just what type of guys they are as far as like their inner makeup. Like, are they, do they have a huge ego and do they get really kind of jealous and mad if they're not the guy or if everybody, now at the end of the day, everybody in the NFL, I don't care what they say, in their heart, they believe they're a starter.
Right.
Now, it's, can you embrace the role that you're in for the betterment of the team?
Right.
And that's when you get a really good quarterback room, which is, I think, what we have. And I just think that's really what it comes down to, is if, yes, I know I have what it takes to be a starter in this league. So does Joe. Obviously, Zach does because he is, and I'm sure so does Strebler. So now are you going to wear that on your face every day and get all mad and not help the starter? No, because that,
right,
at least me personally, that's not what I'm going to do. That's
right.
That's not what I'm about. And we all love Zach and we want to see Zach have success. So we're going to do whatever it takes to help the room and help Zach get prepared. Knowing if the roles were reversed, I'm sure the same exact thing would happen, whether it's Joe starting or Strebler starting or myself or So I think that's, it is possible when you have the right dudes. And I think we have the right dudes in the room.
Absolutely. So speaking of Zach, you know, he gets hurt in the preseason on a scramble when he maybe should have just run out of bounds. I was talking to Case Keenum, who is paired with Josh Allen in Buffalo. And, you know, that's another quarterback who does a lot of scrambling and puts himself into some scary situations. Do you guys, and Case told me he has to incentivize Josh to slide. Like, he has come up with kind of a system of motivation for him there. Do you guys have to do the same with Zach? Like, who is the voice of reason for Zach being like, bro, like stay healthy?
Yes, it's definitely a collective effort from all of us.
Yeah.
Because that is, and it's tough because that is one of Zach's superpowers, is extending the play. And he's so talented at that. He makes the first one miss almost every time. And he doesn't panic when they get close because he knows for the most part he can make a miss. So it's the second and third one. Like, all right, dude, you made the first one miss. That was awesome. That was sweet. That was a sick play. Like, let's protect ourselves a little bit. Cause I told him, I go, dude, I'm sure Case is in the same boat. Cause I know Josh real well and we're really good friends.
Yeah.
He loves running the ball. He almost invites it. Like, he loves the contact of it.
Right.
Which is great. And I'm sure it fires up his guys. But as knowing as a backup, like, I'm sure Case, every time he scrambles, it's like his heart's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. He's good. And I told Zach, I go, Zach, man, sometimes you are one of the more stressful people to be a backup for, because it's just like, dude, you're out there like, and to his credit, he makes a lot of plays. So like, and I don't want to take that aspect away from him.
Right.
So I can't, like, before he goes out, I always try to tell him like, yo, keep leading us, make good decisions, protect yourself. Like, please protect yourself.
That's amazing. That's so great. Yeah. I was going to ask you, I'm like, it must actually be more stressful to be behind somebody who plays like that, because you really do need to be ready, like at any point.
No.
That's so fascinating. So you were recently promoted a couple weeks ago from QB3 to QB2. What is that like? Is it just a very simple conversation? Like, what are those, you know, how do you find out about that? What goes on in the room behind the scenes?
Coach Sala called me and let me know that they were making that move. And I think he talked to Joe as well. And that's kind of really the end of it. It's just nothing changed in the room. Like, you know what I mean? Like I said, our number one goal is getting the starter ready. So whether it's me dressing up on game days or Joe, like, it's, our roles don't really change. You know what I mean? So which I think is a testament to how close knit and good of a QB room we have.
Yeah. And when that happens, he said, you know, he wanted, it's because he knows how Joe plays. Sala said, he's like, yeah, I know what we have in Joe, but if the opportunity arises, I do want to see more from Mike. So does that sort of like lift the stakes for you, or are the stakes already high no matter what?
Yeah, no, the stakes are definitely, as a backup quarterback, like I said earlier, is when you get your shot, you got to capitalize on it. Cause that's your resume. Whenever you get preseason, and there is some weight put into that, but when you get live action versus ones, what's your tape say? And so, yeah, I don't think it adds any more stress, because the, like you said, the stakes are already high enough when you're going into a game. So yeah, I don't kind of stress myself out over that.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, so when you first got to New York, the coaching staff was totally different. It was Adam Gase and his staff. And then, you know, Sala comes in last season for the 2021 season. You survived a coaching staff change. What are your tips for surviving that for other quarterbacks out there?
Oh man. I mean, you just gotta hold yourself to a standard every day and know that everyone's always watching. And I'm sure it helped that we kept the same front office. So they knew me and knew what I was capable of and how I handled myself in the quarterback room and all that good stuff. Kind of the off the field stuff that you don't really, unless you're around like the coaching staff, like, you don't really know. So the field, like, they can watch practice tape, they can watch preseason film and all that good stuff, but they don't know how you are in the room. So unless they ask the guys who are here. So I'm sure Coach Sal and his staff asked Joe D and all them, like, hey, how is he in the room? Is he going to be able to help the young guy? All that good stuff. So yeah, I think it's just you got to know as a backup quarterback that it's not just what you do on the field. It's how you carry yourself every day around the facility. If you're there for the starter, if you're willing to help, do whatever you need to support the guy.
And that year, the 2020 year was, you know, a bad season in New York. It was 2-14, franchise worst 0-13 start. And now obviously things are going well for this team. You guys are in a good spot mid season. Can you kind of juxtapose that year 2020 versus how it is now? I mean, you kind of went into how great it can be when you're winning here, but like, right, how bad, how miserable was it to be part of a team where it's just like, you can't win?
It's no one wants to be a part of an 0-13 start. And I promise you, it wasn't for lack of dedication or preparation, right, or trying, you know what I mean? Like, everyone was working their tails off trying to win. It just, the chips didn't fall our way a lot that year. And it's frustrating for everyone involved because there's so much preparation and so much hard work and dedication put in week in and week out to win on Sundays. And when it doesn't happen, it's tough. It's frustrating. Whether you're 13-0 and then you lose 1 week, it's just as frustrating if you're 0-13 and you lose 1 week. So it wasn't the greatest, but you can learn from it. And if you use it the right way as motivation, and because there's some of the guys here that were part of that as well. And you know, you don't want to be a part of that again. And mm-hmm. it's kind of adds that extra fuel to the fire.
Yeah. And then just have a couple more for you. So, you know, having played with, you know, a first round pick in Sam Darnold in New York, and now Zach Wilson is another first rounder. Obviously it didn't work with Sam and they moved on from him after three seasons. What have you seen in terms of the pressure that a first round quarterback faces? Obviously that is not your position, but you know, from having been around these guys, and Wilson is kind of in the middle of that, you know, proving himself and establishing himself part of his career. So what have you seen in terms of the pressure for a guy who is drafted that high?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, I personally don't know. I've just been around guys that do. I know from Sam's aspect, I thought Sam handled it great. And same with Zach. Like, they handled it. I couldn't handle it any better than them. It's they keep their nose to the ground. They focus on football, which I think is the key. Like, you just gotta focus on your job, know that yes, you appreciate the fan support and they're awesome and they're the reason we have such a great league. But at the end of the day, the opinions that really only matter are what's in this building and what's in the locker room. And I think they both, Sam did and Zach does such a good job of, is knowing, like, all right, what do my teammates think of me first and foremost? And then what do my coach and staff think? And let me make that the focus. Mm-hmm. Like, do my teammates respect me? Do they want to go play for me? And do my coaches, am I doing what my coaches say? And then let the rest take care of itself and block out that noise. I think Zach does a great job of that.
So this last one I want to ask you is a non-Jets question, but I noticed, you know, when I was researching you and looking at your draft process, the Patriots worked you out. And the Patriots, to me, are a fascinating team when it comes to quarterbacks in later rounds of the draft, because they have kind of established a pattern and a history of drafting a lot of guys in the later rounds, kind of where you were taken in the draft, you know, rounds like 4-7, and then really developing them, flipping them for trade value. These guys end up getting starting jobs elsewhere. So I wonder what it was like for you working out for the Patriots in that process. Like, did you notice maybe they have a different way of scouting quarterbacks or valuing quarterbacks? Like, what did you take away from that?
I thought it was at the combine, I met with them for very briefly, maybe 10 minutes. And I wouldn't say it was anything out of the ordinary, but Nick Caserio, who's in Houston now, who's in New England, came to Western Kentucky before my pro day. And we sat down the night before for probably two and a half hours just on the whiteboard, interviewing, starting me with the interview, then going on the whiteboard and then going back to the interview and then going back to the whiteboard, having to regurgitate everything he said. And I wouldn't say it was any groundbreaking stuff. I'm sure there's behind the scenes stuff that we'll never know about that that they do, that they believe in. And, but yeah, like you said, they've had some success. I think the biggest thing for me when I was getting interviewed, and then you think about it, you're like, all right, well, what if I do end up in New England? You're like, wow, I'd be in the same quarterback room as Tom Brady. And then you start to like, whoa, like this, just the mystique of it, I think, is what the biggest thing as a guy interviewing, like getting ready to go through the draft process. It's just the mystique of the Patriots, especially back when I was getting interviewed and with Tom Brady and all the success they had. I think that's the biggest thing, is it's just like the smoke and mirrors of it.
Yeah. And then what last thing I'll ask you, I like to end on this question. What do we misconstrue about the role of the QB2? What do we misconstrue, or what do we not fully understand about the role of the backup quarterback?
I would say, I think the thing that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, just the position in general doesn't get talked about a whole lot unless someone's playing. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone knows that we don't really get a ton of reps in the week with the guys. So I think that's been pretty publicized and people know that. But I would say it's the off the field stuff that people don't really understand. Like, there's a lot that's asked of you, like in the meeting room, like off the field, like, hey, like make sure you, like, I always try to like be a sounding board for Zach or help him or whatever I can do to make his life easier. Cause like, we're all friends, we're all tight, and we all want to see Zach have success. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that a lot more goes into it off the field than you'd think.
Awesome. Well, Mike effing White, thank you so much for joining me today on QB2. Thanks everybody for watching, and we'll see you again next time.
This was the Athletic Football Show.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.